Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. I have a lot to do this morning in the next 60 minutes or 59 minutes now. But we will begin with Sir Charles Barkley, who, as you know, was arrested last week after being stopped for a DUI stop. It comes out yesterday that his blood alcohol level was 0.149, which is almost double the legal limit of 0.08. Barkley will step down for a little bit from TNT for at least a few weeks. I don't know the full extent of how long he will be gone from TNT. But, you know, I'll bring this up, and again, there's a million other things that I could be talking about right now, but I'll bring this up because here's a guy who, you know, listen, the guy was an all-time great player. We all know that, Hall of Famer, the whole nine yards. But, you know, Barkley has went out of his way in his career to call out everybody. You know, he calls out politicians. He calls out, you know, ex-NBA. He calls out ex-NBA players, current NBA players, calls out, you know, he calls out athletes for doing things of this nature. You know, he calls out. He wants to. You know, he's like the police. You know, he's like the police in terms of sports broadcasters, in terms of calling out people left and right. But here's a guy who goes out there and not only gets stopped for a DUI, which he could have had somebody. He could have killed himself or killed somebody else. Luckily, nothing occurred. Luckily, nobody was injured. Luckily, he wasn't injured. He goes out, gets a DUI. Then they find a loaded 9mm in his wife's car. He was driving his wife's car at the time. Then he tells the police that he was in a rush to meet a girl who had given him oral sex the week before, or something like that. I mean, this guy's old. He's not 25 years old. Charles Barkley's in, you know, 43, 44 years old. You know, so if you want to call out everybody, you know, check yourself. And enough of this. I don't want to hear about this. Oh, it's just Charles being Charles. No, it's not Charles being Charles. It's Charles being an idiot. And if TNT had any guts, they would suspend him for the rest of the season. I'm not going to say fire him because Marv Albert still has a job. Okay, Marv Albert is the same guy who had, you know, who had his own issues a time or two before he got, when he was suspended by NBC for that for about a year or so, and he's back on the air. So I'm not gonna say fire him, but sit him down for the rest of the season. I'll be like, you know what, Charles, get yourself together, get your life together. We'll see you in 2009-2010 NBA season if I'm TNT. But TNT doesn't have the guts, you know. TNT he generates ratings. He's extremely popular, and he's funny. I mean, Charles Barkley is entertaining, and he's funny. Some of the stuff you agree with, some of the stuff you just shake your head at and don't, and just totally dismiss, because he could be completely over the top sometimes. But he is entertaining. He does understand basketball, and he was a great player. That's not, you know, I'm not going to lose sight of that. But again, Barkley is a guy who spent his whole career, especially as a television, since he got into broadcasting with TNT back in 2000-2001, you know, he spent his career calling everybody else out. He spent his career doing that. He had something to say about everything and everybody. And again, I find it, you know, if you got a loaded 9mm in your truck, and you get pulled over a DUI. So I just wanted to touch on that for a couple of minutes because, Barkley is just a guy who just, you know, has to just sit back and, you know, get his own life in order before he can call anybody else out. Don't worry about LeBron James. Don't worry about Pac-Man Jones. Don't worry about anybody. Just worry about Charles Barkley. Don't worry about the politics, Barack or George Bush. Worry about Charles Barkley. We got a lot of issues. We got a lot of stuff he needs to get in order. We have a lot to do today, a busy program, of course, on this playoff weekend. A lot of football to get to, both college and pro. Coming up after the update, I will get into my picks, NFL picks for the divisional playoffs. Of course, you have four games. Yeah, four games this weekend. This is clearly the best weekend in all of football. The last weekend where you'll have Saturday and Sunday pro football. From here on out, it just becomes events now. It'll become individual events. You have your AFC Championship, you have your NFC Championship, and then you'll have, of course, the big one down in Tampa in about 3 weeks with the Super Bowl. So one of the last great weekends in all of pro football as you will have the divisional playoffs. Also we'll recap the BCS championship game. Of course, the Florida took care of business in that, and we'll have top stories of the week that's coming up and much much more on the Saturday morning wake up call, 35 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour. The call number is 347-215-6180, 347-215-6180. Here's the update. Memphis Grizzlies have re-signed Darius Miles despite threats from the Portland Trail Blazers of a lawsuit. And again, I will get into that more. There's a lot more to this story, but Memphis has re-signed Darius Miles. Has re-signed Darius Miles for the rest of the season. Texas Tech junior wideout Michael Crabtree has decided that he will turn pro. He is a two-time Fred Lindekopf winner for nation's top receiver. Crabtree, of course, had that great game-winning catch against Texas that ended Texas's bid for an undefeated season. Ed Reed is a lone unanimous All-Pro pick as he leads a group of 15. As he leads the All-Pro team, 15 new players were chosen on the All-Pro team. Guys like Michael Turner, Justin Tuck and James Harrison, to name a few. Ray Lewis also made it for the sixth time in his All-Pro career. NBA scores: Cleveland runs Boston out of the gym, 98-83. LeBron James goes for 38 points, six assists, seven rebounds. Cleveland now is tied for the best record in the NBA at 29-6, and they have the best record in the Eastern Conference. Boston really is in a free fall right now. They've lost seven out of their last nine games and falls to 29-9. Orlando, all over Atlanta, 121-87. Orlando, Hedy Tuckaloo has 21 points. Orlando improves to 29-8, which is good for second best record in the Eastern Conference. Atlanta falls to 22-13. The Lakers survive Indiana, 121-119. LA improves to 29-6, ties for the best record in the league, along with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Kobe Bryant goes for 36 points and 13 assists, including the game-winning shot with just 3 seconds left. New Orleans smashes the Clippers, 107-80. Rasul Butler has 27 points. And Rasul Butler scores 20 points in the game. You know it's not good for the other team. Detroit defeats Denver, 93-90. Allen Iverson scored 20 of his 23 points in the second half. Other winners in the association included Phoenix, Miami, Milwaukee, Chicago, Houston, Toronto, and Philadelphia. And it seems like, I don't know what it is, I don't know if it's just me, or it seems like every time Milwaukee plays on a Friday, they win a game. So maybe they should think about playing on, maybe they should think about having all their games on a Friday, on Fridays. Coming up, still to come, we have NFL picks for a divisional playoff weekend, and also our star of the week. That is still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call. We're just getting started here on the 10th of January, 2009. Simply the best weekend in all of football. The divisional playoff series where the big boys come out and play. All the division winners, all the top seeds will come back into the mix. Pittsburgh, New York, Tennessee, and Carolina all now will try to stave off elimination and get to the conference championships. And I'll begin with game one, Carolina taking on Arizona. Arizona has been awful this year on the East Coast. They're 0-5. They are 0-5. They've only been competitive in two of the games. They've lost by an average of 20 points a game. They got destroyed, of course, by the Jets, by the Eagles, and to add to that, Anquan Boldin probably won't play. I would be surprised I'll be shocked if he did play. If he tries to play, he would be very limited. And if he did play, Arizona is just this is not good enough. This is not good enough in this game. I think Carolina is too physical. Carolina will be able. Carolina is one of the best running teams in all of football, averaging over 152 yards a game. Rushing will be led by, of course, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. This game was very easy for me to pick. I mean, Carolina, again, has played well down the stretch of the season, especially with their offensive line. I could just see them there. I don't think the Arizona can handle the physicality of Carolina. And Arizona might put some points on the board. You know, Arizona could get to, they might put 20, 21 points on the board, but I could see Carolina winning the game, say 38-24 or 41-or even something like 41-27. I just don't see any way that Arizona will be able to slow down that Carolina rushing attack. Game number two, which will be the last game of the weekend, Pittsburgh hosting San Diego. This is my upset special. Pittsburgh is a 6-point favorite. San Diego comes into this game, a lot of momentum, nothing to lose. And listen, you look at their record right now, 9-8, including the playoff win, of course, last weekend against Indianapolis. Do not be fooled by that record. This is not a 500 team. This team has a lot of talent, despite the fact that they're playing without arguably their two best players in LaDainian Tomlinson and Sean Merriman. LaDainian Tomlinson will not play today. I don't know why. They list him as doubtful. He's not going to play. I mean, he's not there. If I was in Pittsburgh this week, I wouldn't even prepare for LaDainian Tomlinson. He's not going to play. He probably won't be. He's probably done for the rest of the season. Maybe he gets into the Super Bowl. We saw Terrell Owens, of course, a few years ago, come off a leg injury and still play in the Super Bowl. So maybe that's an outside chance. But he will not. Minimum, he won't play to the Super Bowl. And listen, I'm not in love with Pittsburgh at all. I was very high on him early in the season, but right now, the running game has not been good. And more importantly, Ben Roethlisberger is coming off a concussion. And I just don't think I just do not think he's going to be 100%. I think that he has to be at top level in order to beat the San Diego Chargers. The Chargers come in with a lot of good karma. Their defense is playing well. Phillip Rivers is playing well. Even if Darren Sproles doesn't have a big game, I mean, even if he doesn't rush for 100 yards, He can still hurt you in so many ways. He can hurt you catching passes out the backfield with those little screen passes. He can hurt you on kickoff and punt returns. He doesn't have to rush for 100 yards or kill you that way in order to beat you. I mean, he's one of the best all-purpose players in the league right now when you include everything that he can do. And I just don't think Pittsburgh is going to be able to score enough points, to be honest with you. Roethlisberger, watch this concussion for Roethlisberger. And, you know, Roethlisberger, you know, as great as he's been in some playoff games, he had the Super Bowl ring. His stats, his numbers in these playoff games have not been good, especially at home. He has struggled. Some of the games that come to mind, that New England game, his rookie season, the Jet game, you know, that Jets game, that same season. He did not play great in home playoff games. He didn't play well last year against Jacksonville. So I like San Diego in this game. I think it will be a very close game. I don't care what the weather is, to be honest with you. Everybody wants to talk about, you know, the weather and the field and slowing down Sproles. San Diego is a team that is built to play in the cold weather. They are not a finesse team whatsoever. So I like San Diego, say 20-17. 21-17, that type of game. I can even see it being even less scoring, maybe like 19-17. I like San Diego in this game. San Diego has a little magic going to them. Magic with them right now. They have good karma, and they are playing with house money. Nobody expects anything out of San Diego at this point in the season. Game number three, and this is a game where it is not for the faint of heart. Baltimore traveling down to Tennessee to take on the number one seed Titans, and Tennessee Titans, who had the best record in the NFL this year. Some people seem to forget that Tennessee plays a little defense, too. It plays a little defense itself. Tennessee comes into this game ranked seventh overall in total defense. And more importantly, this is the stat that I always go by when I'm ranking defenses, it's points allowed. Only Pittsburgh gave up less points than Tennessee defense. Tennessee Tennessee, they will have Haynesworth back. They're going to have Vander Mosh back on that defensive line. I just think. I look at this game. I look at Tennessee being able to stop the Baltimore. I don't think Baltimore will be able to run against Tennessee. I don't see Tennessee being able to run against Baltimore. The difference in this game to me is Kerry Collins versus Joe Flacco. Now I know everybody wants to anoint Joe Flacco, Sports Illustrated, you know, have Joe Cool, but he's still a rookie quarterback. He's going on the road in a very hostile environment. This is not the Miami Dolphins. Okay. I think Tennessee's defense will get him to make enough mistakes to where that'll be the difference in the game. I would not be the least bit surprised or shocked if Baltimore won this game. The defense is playing great. Ed Reed in particular, of course. The running game is good. But again, they still have a rookie quarterback, and I just don't trust these rookie quarterbacks. I don't care how talented they are in these playoff games as we go deeper and deeper into the playoffs. And this is a game where I think Flacco will get exposed for being what he is, and that's a rookie quarterback. He has a bright future. But again, that Tennessee defense is nothing. That Tennessee's defense does not take a backseat to Baltimore's defense whatsoever. Tennessee's defense is every bit as good as Baltimore's defense. Every bit. They force turnovers. They get sacks. Now, the Kevin Mawai injury will hurt them. He's an all-pro center. He's one of the best centers in football. He's out for this game, of course. He's out for this game with the elbow injury. That'll hurt him as far as their running game. But I still think Tennessee will have enough just to get by and go and move on to the AFC Championship. Look for Tennessee to win a close one. Say, this game could be 14-10. I mean, this will be a very physical, hard-hitting game. And again, it's going to come down to the team, not so much who makes more plays, but it's going to come down to the team that makes probably the fewest mistakes. One turnover could change the whole complexion of this game. Game number four, and to me, easily the game of the week, the game of these playoffs so far, the New York Giants host the Philadelphia Eagles. Giants come in as 4-point favorites. And, you know, this is a game where, again, a lot will come down to quarterback play. Similar to the San Diego Chargers, I like the Philadelphia Eagles right now. I think the Eagles they're playing well. They have no fear of the Giants whatsoever. These teams know each other very well. They've played 8 times. This will be the 8th time they've played in the last three seasons. They met in the playoffs 2 years ago with the Philadelphia defeated the Giants in overtime, of course, when Jeff Garcia was the quarterback. And again, I like how Philadelphia is playing right now. I don't think that the Giants, this is where I think the Giants will miss Plexico Burress. I like the matchup between the Philadelphia secondary and the Giant receivers. I think the Philadelphia secondary is better, led by, of course, you know, future Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins, Asante Samuel, Sheldon Brown, just to name a few. The Philadelphia defense has played great down the stretch. Of course, they've ranked, you know, top 5, top 4 in just about all the major defensive categories. And again, Philadelphia has some magic going for them. Westbrook, you can hold Westbrook down for 3.5 quarters, and then all of a sudden, you know, he breaks loose for a 70-yard touchdown. I mean, that's what he does. That's what he does. Westbrook has had some big games lately. Has had some big games against the New York Giants, in particular the last one where they traveled up to the Meadowlands a little over a month ago. And of course, he had the touchdown. He had a big touchdown run. He had a touchdown reception where he beat Antonio Pierce off a crossing pattern to put that game away. Philadelphia has no fear of the New York Giants. You talk about a team. In some ways, I think they even wanted to play the Giants. This is the worst matchup for if you're the New York Giants. You're coming off a stretch of games where you really haven't played well down the stretch. I know you had a good win versus Carolina, but besides that, the Giants have not played well. I know Brandon Jacobs is back, but again, I think Philadelphia can go man-on-man with their receivers and just stack the line of scrimmage and really contain that Giant run. I think Westbrook and McNabb will make enough plays. I can see Eli Manning being forced into a couple mistakes. He has been prone to throw some big interceptions. And I like the Eagles in this game, 24-20. It'll be a very close, highly competitive game. Of course, you wouldn't be surprised, the least bit surprised, if the Giants were to win. But again, I like the Philadelphia Magic right now. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, and I'm not going to break away from that pick. You know, I'm definitely not going to break away from that pick despite the fact that they're playing the defending Super Bowl champions. So there you go. I have Carolina. I have Carolina winning relatively easily against ball against Arizona. I have more confidence. I have the most confidence in Carolina in a Carolina win that I have in any other team winning this weekend. San Diego winning a close game at Pittsburgh. I have Tennessee winning a close game hosting Baltimore, and I have the Eagles upsetting, if you want to call it an upset, beating the Giants at the Meadowlands in New York tomorrow for a divisional playoff weekend. If you look at the playoffs, this is how open the NFL is right now. You can make a case that seven of the remaining eight teams can get to and win a Super Bowl. The only team I can't argue for is Arizona. I just can't see Arizona even sniffing the Super Bowl, even getting to the NFC Championship, let alone Super Bowl. But those other seven teams, I mean, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, San Diego, Tennessee, whoever, Carolina, Giants, you can make a case for them getting to the Super Bowl. And if you can, and at this point, the way the NFL is, if you can get to a Super Bowl, you can win a Super Bowl. No longer is it, you know, no longer is one conference been dominant over the other, like you saw the NFC be dominant over the AFC in the late 70s, the 80s into the early 90s, or you see the AFC be dominant over the NFC within the last 6 or 7 years. That's over with now. I mean, either one of these conferences has teams that can beat each other in the Super Bowl. So it is still wide open. And again, only seven games left. I mean, you got these four games this weekend. You have the two next week, the two conference championships next week, and of course the Super Bowl 3 weeks from now down in Tampa. So the football season is slowly slipping away as we head towards the off season. Still to come on this edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, we'll have our star of the week. A lot of guys who have big weeks in the world of college football as well as the NBA. Also, top stories. A lot going on during this particular week. So we still have that to come, and much, much more on the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. But here's the update: Memphis Grizzlies have re-signed Darius Miles. Miles, despite threats from the Portland Trailblazers that any team that re-signs Miles will get a lawsuit. Again, I will get into that more as we go along with the program. Texas Tech junior wideout Michael Crabtree has decided to turn pro. Crabtree, of course, is a two-time Fred Biletnikoff winner, which is awarded to the nation's top receiver. Crabtree, of course, had that great catch, the game-winning catch against Texas earlier this season. Ed Reed is the only unanimous All-Pro pick and he is joined by guys like Peyton Manning and also Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is his sixth time in his career that he has been named to the All-Pro team. 15 new players were also chosen on the NFL's All-Pro team. NBA scores: Cleveland runs over Boston 98-83. Cleveland takes over. Cleveland now has the best record in the Eastern Conference and is tied with the Los Angeles Lakers for best record in the league at 29-6. LeBron James goes for 38 points. Orlando defeats Atlanta 121-87. Hedo Turkoglu goes for 21 points. Orlando is number two in the East with a record of 29-8. The Lakers squeak past Indiana 121-119. The Lakers go to 29-6. Kobe Bryant has a big game, 36 points, 13 assists, and of course hit the game-winning shot with just 3 seconds left. New Orleans smashes the Clippers 107-80. Rasul Butler scores 27 points. New Orleans improves to 22-11, and Detroit defeats Denver 93-90. Allen Iverson scored 20 of his 23 points in the second half of that game. Other winners in the NBA include Phoenix, Miami, Milwaukee, Chicago, Houston, Toronto, and Philadelphia as well. Coming up, we have Star of the Week and also Top Stories on the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear, the camera's here, and the mic.
Star of the week, and again, like I said, it was a big week for a couple of college football players, and we'll begin at the top. Percy Harvin, the Florida wide receiver slash tailback. I mean, he's basically an all-purpose guy. Had 171 total yards, 121 yards rushing on just 9 carries, averaging with close to 13 yards a carry. Had a touchdown. Also had 5 catches for 50 yards, and he was simply the best player on the field in Florida's 24-14 win over Oklahoma in the BCS championship. Colt McCoy, the junior Texas quarterback, went 41-59 for 414 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Of course, had the game-winning touchdown pass as Texas defeated Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl earlier in the week. Quan Cosby, the Texas wide receiver, big game, 14 catches, 171 yards, 2 touchdowns, and caught the game-winning touchdown from Colt McCoy in that Fiesta Bowl victory, over Ohio State. And David West, 40 points, 11 rebounds, early on Tuesday against the Los Angeles Lakers, as he led the Hornets to a 116-105 win, big win for New Orleans as the Lakers had beaten them 2 times earlier in the season, twice. So West goes for 40 points and 11 rebounds, and based on the magnitude of the game and the fact that he was coming off an injury, I have to give it to Percy Harvin. Harvin, there was a question mark whether or not Harvin would even play in this game. He hadn't played since late November against Florida State. He had that where he hurt his ankle, did not play in the SEC championship. He was just the best player on the field. I mean, I was shocked how well he played. Like I said, 171 total yards. He was gutted over Oklahoma's defense with big runs, had 3 huge runs, but had 3 runs over 30 yards and averaged over 13 yards a carry and scored a touchdown. So Percy Harvin is your star of the week. As far as the BCS championship goes, again, Florida defeats Oklahoma 24-14, a game that could have easily went either way. And to me, this game came down to the speed of the Florida defense. Oklahoma got exposed for playing in the Big 12 conference. The Big 12 conference, if you look at it, really did not have one big time defense. All those teams are great offensive teams, whether it be Missouri, Kansas, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Oklahoma as well. Oklahoma probably is the best defensive team out of all those teams. None of those teams play any defense, and that got exposed. As Florida had too much team speed on the defensive end for Oklahoma to deal with. I also thought that Bob Stoops, who has struggled mightily in these BCS games of late, he has lost his last 5 BCS games, very conservative offensively. I mean, you got Sam Bradford. You got great receivers. You have a All-American caliber receiver and an All-American caliber tight end. Throw the ball down the field. And I know what you're going to say. Sam Bradford threw the ball 41 times, but a lot of those routes were intermediate routes. They really didn't challenge Florida down the field, and they really got away from what made them successful, and that was that up-tempo, high-tempo, fast-break kind of offense that the few times I saw them use it against Florida, Florida looked confused, and they moved the ball when they gave Florida a chance to set up defensively. They gave time for the Florida, to substitute and do things like that. Florida really contained their offense and did by far and away the best job that anybody's done against Oklahoma. Oklahoma came into this game averaging 54 points a game. They have scored 60 points in their last 5 games of the season. So for them to only score 14 points, again, give a lot of credit to the Florida defense. But also, I think Oklahoma's coaching staff had a lot to do with that. Florida, this is why I was so scared to pick Oklahoma in this game. The bottom line is Urban Meyer and Charlie Strong, the head coach and defensive coordinator of Florida, destroyed Bob Stoops. I mean, Bob Stoops, listen, he has a championship and he has a lifetime pass basically at Oklahoma. They'll probably build a statue of Bob Stoops, 10, 15 years after he's retired. But the bottom line is, in these big games, he struggled. I mean, he loses to West Virginia. He loses to Boise State. He gets his blown out by USC a few years back. I mean, these games, for some reason, these BCS games, they just haven't been able to get the job done. Stoops, LSU a couple of years ago, again, Stoops, I cannot question Stoops' resume. You can't. I mean, he has gotten the 4 BCS championships. He has gotten the 4 BCS championships, and again, he has won a championship. But it looks like he's headed to a career similar to like a Bobby Bowden, where he'll probably win another championship, but he'll probably also lose a lot more in terms of the big games. as far as the overall picture for Kyle Schwarber, listen, I looked at, you know, this game was not a classic by any stretch of the imagination. I couldn't even look at it. You know, you look at the Super Bowl, you know it's the Super Bowl. You look at the NCAA the Final Four, you know it's the Final Four. I could not look at this game as a championship caliber game. Does anybody believe that this was really the national championship? When you got a 13-0 Utah team that just knocked around Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, when you have a USC team that just dominated Penn State in the Rose Bowl, both those teams you can make an argument for as being the best team in the country. I have no problem with Florida being number one. Florida went through the SEC. They went through Alabama, which was ranked number one at the time. They went through Oklahoma, which was ranked number one at the time. So did Florida deserve to be ranked number one? Yes, absolutely. But again, was this a real championship game? It did not have the feel of a championship game. First of all, the game is played, you know, January 8th. You had to wait. You've already gone through a round of NFL playoffs before this game was played. So, again, I'm not going to sit up here and go ballistic about a playoff system. I mean, I've been crying about that for the last 10 years. I've been crying about playoffs in college football. I accept the fact that it's not going to happen. Presidents are greedy. They're going to just collect the money from the million bowl games that nobody cares about and go about their business. I understand that. And that's just not going to happen. I don't see a playoff happening unless you get a situation where you have three or four big time teams undefeated. I'm talking to USC, I'm talking to Oklahoma from one conference, I'm talking to Penn State, something like that, to a point where college football just utterly gets embarrassed by the fact of having more than two undefeated teams. Unless you get that, then you're not getting a playoff. It's just that simple. But again, I walked away from that game not thinking that Florida was the best team in the country. I did not walk away thinking that they were the best team in the country. Did I walk away thinking they were better than Oklahoma? Yes. But did I walk away thinking that they were the best team in all of college football? Absolutely not. And enough already about Tim Tebow. I mean, if I hear another Tim Tebow praise, I mean, give me a break. Tim Tebow, I don't care how many championships he wins in college. Tim Tebow is one of the most overrated and overhyped players I've ever seen in my life on a college or on any level. He wills his team to win, and he will Percy Harvin to get in 171 total yards. He wasn't even the best player on his team in that game. Had two interceptions. I know he made a couple. I know he had a great fourth quarter, made some plays, but enough already about Tim Tebow. He is not one of the greatest players in college football history. You want to call him one of the greatest winners in college football history? Yes, but one of the greatest players in college football history? Give me a break. If I had time, I can give you 50 players off the top of my head who had better college football players than Tim Tebow, and I won't even include what they did in the pros. I'll just leave that out. And anybody and any organization in the NFL that's crazy enough to take him as a first-round pick, I wouldn't want that general manager running my team, I'll tell you that. Still to come, we have top stories. We have top stories, a lot of things going on over the course of the sports world this week. So that's still to come on the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. Stay with us. Call in at 347-215-6180. Again, call in at 347-215-6180. Memphis Grizzlies have decided to resign Darius Miles despite threats from the Portland Trail Blazers of a lawsuit. Of course, if Miles plays a couple more games, Portland will be on the hook for his $18 million that he has remained on his salary. Texas Tech junior wideout Michael Crabtree has decided to skip his senior season and goes straight to the NFL. Crabtree is a two-time Blinnikoff winner, which honors the nation's top wide receiver. Ed Reed is the lone unanimous All-Pro pick. The Baltimore safety led a group of All-Pros. 15 new players were chosen to the All-Pro team. Guys like Peyton Manning and Ray Lewis, who made it for the sixth time in his illustrious Hall of Fame career. NBA scores. Cleveland defeats Boston 98-83. Cleveland improves to an Eastern Conference and league best 29-6. LeBron James goes for 38 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists. Orlando, all over, it's all over Atlanta, 121-87. Orlando improves to 29-8, which is good for second in the Eastern Conference. Hedo Turkoglu has a big game, going, scoring 21 points. The Lakers edge Indiana 121-119. The Lakers, Kobe Bryant scores 36 points and dishes out 13 assists, and of course hit the game winning shot with just 3 seconds left. The Lakers are tied with Cleveland for the best record at 29-6. New Orleans defeats the Clippers 107-80. New Orleans improves to 22-11. Defeats Rasul Butler, scores 27 points to lead the way. Detroit edges out Denver 93-90. Detroit was led by Allen Iverson, who scored 20 of his 23 points in the second half. Other winners in the association included Phoenix, Miami, Milwaukee, Chicago, Houston, Toronto, and Philadelphia. Top stories of the week. Boston College coach Jeff Jagodzinski was fired from BC after he interviewed with the New York Jets earlier in the week. And listen, he knew this was coming. Boston College athletic director Gene DeFilippo told Jagodzinski, if he interviewed for the Jet job, that he would be fired, and of course he followed up on that. I have a major problem with this, because doesn't a man or a woman have the right to get better, to better themselves, if they so choose to? Here's a guy who, took over this program after Tom O'Brien left, and all he did was go 20-8. Have a season last year where he goes 11-3, goes to the ACC championship, of course led by Matt Ryan. He loses Matt Ryan to the NFL draft, and this year he goes 9-5 and again makes it to the ACC championship. So the guy can coach. I mean, who does Boston College think they are? Do they think they're USC? I mean, that job, the Boston College job, is not a destination. It's not a job where you get in and you say, hey, you know what, I'm going to retire here. It's not that kind of job. And they should have known that this guy had NFL aspirations by looking at his resume. Before he got to Boston College, he was a, he had two coaching positions in the NFL. Yeah, two coaching positions in the NFL on the offensive line. So he had prior NFL experience. I believe he was a line coach. He was a line coach for Green Bay and for another team. He had prior NFL experience before he got here. He had two jobs, and I mean, this is nothing new for Boston College. Tom Coughlin, the current Giant coach, was at BC for just 3 years, from 91 to 93. Before Coughlin got there, Coughlin was a wide receiver coach for the Giants, Eagles, and Green Bay before he got there. Then he left after the 93 season and went to Jacksonville. So what's the difference? I mean, what's the difference between this situation? Now, Jagodzinski had 3 years left on his contract. I don't see how you think the guy's going to fulfill his contract and pass up on possible NFL jobs. I don't see how you expect a guy to do that. There's no way in the world you can expect him to pass up on a possible head coaching position. Now, he probably won't get the Jet job, but he's probably looking at an offensive coordinator position somewhere or another assistant coaching position in the NFL. He has contacts in the NFL. He's well known throughout the NFL, so he's probably going to get another position somewhere on somebody's coaching staff. But again, Boston College, I mean, you're not a big time school. Boston College is a nice. They are very good, very good football school. They've had some success. You can go back to Doug Flutie, who was by far and away the most well known athlete, let alone not only just a football player. But again, this is not USC. This is not a destination type job. I mean, I don't know how many jobs I've had in my life and been looking through the one ads on my lunch break. I mean, a guy has the right to improve himself if he so chooses to. He should not be held, you know, hostage by a job, by his employer. And then you have, you know, Gene DiFilippo, the athletic director, with this whole, you know, sob story at the press conference, choking back tears and all that. Was just, I couldn't take it. Listen to that. You're up there crying and, you know, making it, you know, 12 years. This is the toughest decision I've ever had in my life. And give me a break. Good luck finding somebody who could stay at Boston College for 10 years. Good luck. I don't think that guy, I mean, Tom O'Brien was there for 10 years. That'll probably be the last guy you see stay at Boston College for that period of time. Other news, and of course, I briefly mentioned this on the update. The NBA has filed a grievance against the Portland Trailblazers for threatening to sue any team that signed Darius Miles. Here's the story with this. Darius Miles was thought to be retired after last season. Portland assumed that he was going to be retired. Now, if he stays because of an injury, if he had stayed retired, then they wouldn't have any. His salary would not count against their salary cap, and would not count in terms of putting them over the luxury tax. If Miles plays in two more games, which he probably is now that Memphis has re-signed him, if he plays in two more games, that's going to be $18 million that counts against Portland's salary cap, which will put them over the luxury tax. And no owner in the NBA wants to pay the luxury tax. I don't care how much they are, they just, because that's basically a dollar over. You have to account for that dollar. So if you're over the luxury tax by $1 million, then you have to pay an additional $1 million. Then you have to pay another additional $1 million for that. And again, no owner, not Mark Cuban, not Jerry Buss, no owner wants to pay that luxury tax. It's just that, you know, other than say James Dolan, who has, you know, money to burn, and Cuban has money to burn too, but owners don't. Not too many owners like paying that luxury tax. Here's my thing, you know. I would look at this situation like if you were to buy a car, the car breaks down, and, you know, and all of a sudden you want your money back. You make a bad investment, you pay the cost. Portland, 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, in 2004, signed Miles to a six-year, $48 million guaranteed deal. He hasn't panned out. You know, he's been an okay player. Career averages about 10 points a game. And, you know, now all of a sudden they don't want to, you know, they assumed that he was going to retire. That's not the case. It has not been the case. So this is on Portland for investing all that money into him, giving him all that money. We hadn't done, prior to that point, Darius Miles hadn't done anything in his career to earn a six-year, $48 million contract. So they did a bad job of, you know, they overvalued what he was worth. And they're gonna have to pay the $18 million. And the NBA is not going to side with the Portland Trailblazers on this. Portland Trailblazers are gonna lose this case. If this goes to court, they will lose easily. Easily, they're gonna lose. So if you're the Portland Trailblazers, they're gonna have to eat that $18 million. Again, it's a bad. You can understand where they're coming from. Not wanting to pay his salary and not wanting to go over that luxury tax. That's the big thing. It's for them to go over the luxury tax. That's what's bothering them, even just as much as the salary cap. Chuck, believe me. Also, Pac-Man Jones is done at the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys cut ties with him due to a report that Jones allegedly had somebody shoot at three men coming outside of the Atlanta strip club back in June 2007. Remind you, this was after Roger Goodell and the NFL had suspended Jones for a year for his role in that strip club shooting back in Las Vegas during the All-Star Weekend in the NBA back in February 2007. The NFL allegedly, the NFL knew about this incident, but did not tell the Dallas Cowboys. I find it hard to believe. I find it hard to believe that the NFL, that the Dallas Cowboys did not know about this. I just don't believe it. I mean, the NFL has investigators up and down the board. They know. I'm telling you, when you look at this upcoming draft. Coming up in April, the NFL does background checks that, you know, rivals, you know, CSI, I mean, that rival CIA. I mean, they have NFL security all over the place. They do background checks on employees, on players, on everybody that has an important role within the NFL organization. So I find it, I just don't believe that the Dallas Cowboys did not know about this incident. I believe what happened was they saw Pac-Man perform. He only averaged 4.6 yards per punt return, was average at best at cornerback, you know, was injured a little bit, and I believe that they just cut their losses. That's all I believe that they did this just to save face. That's all I think happened with this situation. Pac-Man did not have a good year. Obviously, he had the off-the-field incident with the Cowboy security guard that was paid to protect him. And was suspended for a number of games, you know, with that whole ordeal. But I don't think that he was suspended because of this situation. I mean, that he was cut because of this situation. This was just an excuse for the Dallas Cowboys to get rid of him. And if you're a Dallas Cowboys, listen, I would not use this as an excuse to get rid of him. I would just cut him. I mean, just cut him. You know, I mean, why do you have to use this as an excuse to get rid of him? Just get rid of him. Nobody's gonna be shedding tears for Adam Jones. Trust me. Nobody's shedding tears for Adam Jones with this situation. Also, Eric Mangini was hired as the Cleveland Browns head coach. Mangini, of course, was fired right after the season by the New York Jets for his team falling apart basically down the stretch. Mangini, for his career, is 23-25, does have a playoff appearance and two winning seasons to his credit. If I'm the Cleveland Browns, and, you know, Peter King had a good article in Sports Illustrated about retreads and retread coaches as compared to defensive coordinators, compared to coordinators. And listen, unless that guy has a Super Bowl ring on his finger, I'm going for the coordinator. I'm going for the fresh coach. I'm not touching a college head coach without NFL experience, and I'm not touching a retread again, unless that retread has a Super Bowl ring or his name is Mari Schottenheimer. And I think it's a little bit quick. I think it's a little bit quick for Eric Mangini to get another job. I think Mangini is a very good coach, is a decent coach, but is he a good enough coach to get a job this fast? I mean, the guy just got fired, you know, roughly about 2 weeks ago, he just got fired. Is he that good? If you're the Cleveland Browns, I know he used to work, you know, work in their organization. He worked himself up, was a ball boy, and worked himself up within that org, was a ball boy, and worked himself up within the New England organization. I mean, worked himself up within the Cleveland organization early on when Bill Belichick was the former Cleveland head coach, and Belichick brought him over to New England once Belichick was fired from Cleveland and got the New England job. But Eric Mangini is a decent coach. He's not a guy that I would have to have coaching my team. If I'm trying to hire a coach right now in the NFL, like I said, putting Mike Shanahan aside, putting a Mari Schottenheimer aside, putting that Super Bowl winning coach aside, I'm going after the coordinator. I'm going after guys who are hungry. I'm going after guys who have. I'm going after the fresh face. I'm not touching it. I'm not big on these retreads. I'm not. But But again, I mean, I'm not big on retreads, and I'm also not big on college head coaches without NFL coaching experience, without NFL head coaching experience in particular. You know, Steve Spurrier, Pete Carroll, a couple of those guys come to mind. So Eric Mangini gets a job very fast as head coach of the Cleveland Browns. As the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. After this update, we'll talk a little bit about the NBA. Talk a little bit about the NBA and about what took place in Cleveland last night. The final update of the morning, Memphis. The Memphis Grizzlies have re-signed Darius Miles despite threats from the Portland Trailblazers that they will sue any team that signed Miles. Miles, of course, is owed $18 million left on his contract, and which will have to be paid by the Portland Trailblazers along with the luxury tax. Texas Tech wide receiver Michael Crabtree has decided to turn pro. Crabtree is a two-time Biletnikoff winner for nation's top receiver. Crabtree, of course, had that great catch, the game-winning catch in a game against then number one Texas earlier this season. Ed Reed is a lone unanimous pick as All-Pro. Reed leads an All-Pro team that featured 15 new players, a team that also featured guys like Peyton Manning and Ray Lewis as well. NBA scores. Cleveland defeats Boston 98-83. Cleveland improves to 29-6. LeBron James goes for 38 points. Orlando, all over Atlanta, 121-87. Orlando improves to 28-9, 29-8. T.D. Turkoglu scores 21 points. The Lakers edge out Indiana, 121-119. Lakers improve to an NBA best, tie for NBA best, 29-6. Kobe Bryant scores 36 points, including hitting the game-winning shot with just 3 seconds left. New Orleans defeats the Clippers, 107-80. Rasul Butler scores 27 points. Detroit squeaks past Denver 93-90. Allen Iverson scores 20 of his 23 points in the second half. A couple things on the NBA. Of course, last night you saw Cleveland just run roughshod over the Boston Celtics by 15 points. The Celtics are just struggling right now at 29-9. They've lost 7 out of their last 9 games. Ever since that Lakers game on Christmas Day, they really have not been the same team. I'm not going to say that it was due to that game in particular, but after that loss, they've had some bad losses. Golden State lost to Charlotte earlier this weekend in overtime. They lost to the Knicks. You know, they lost to the Knicks by a bunch during last Sunday. I mean, Cleveland. You know, I'm not gonna sit up here and bury the Celtics right now. What you have to understand is they're an older team. These are the dog days of the NBA, pure and simple. These are the dog days of the NBA. You have a situation where you still have a month away from the All-Star break, and it's too early to be looking ahead to the playoffs. The playoffs won't start until April, mid-April. And the Boston Celtics, again, are not the youngest team in the world, and they still are very thin on their bench. I mean, their bench, I give Jeff Van Gundy a lot of credit. He mentioned this even when the Celtics were playing great, were winning 19 straight, that bench, that they needed some more veteran leadership. They needed some more veteran leadership to come off that bench, and they needed some more depth to come off that bench, and that has gotten exposed over the past couple of weeks. So again, I'm not going to go too crazy about it. I'm not going to bury yourself. They're still the team to beat in my eyes. They're still the team to beat. Cleveland, again, is playing well, playing great, but they will need the Dreamers of Galaxies, who's out right now with an ankle injury, in order to win a championship. It is by far. Listen, I know Orlando is playing well, but I still don't put Orlando in that same class as Cleveland and Boston. I just don't. I think that the Orlando still needs to make a move before the trade deadline is up in order to get into that class. What you're wondering right now about Boston is, will they go after Stephon Marbury? There have been rumors persisting that they might go after, try to go after Marbury. Who knows? Kevin Garnett has been open to Marbury coming to the team, you know, coming and joining the team. So keep your eyes on that. A couple other notes in the world of sports. John Smoltz and Brad Penny both signed with the Boston Red Sox. I think that these are good moves by the Red Sox, adding to the depth of their starting pitching. You have guys, now, they still have Wakefield, they still have Josh Beckett, they still have Dice K, they have, of course, Lester. So they have they are very deep when it comes to that starting pitching staff. And before Smoltz got hurt, Smoltz was 41 years old. Before he got hurt, he was pitching very well for the Braves, and I still think he has something left in the tank. And they're not going to be dependent on Smoltz to carry a load. I mean, I'm sure they'll receive extended rest, you know, 6 days between starts a couple of times. I'm sure they will monitor how they use him. I think this is a very good sign. Brad Penny has pitched well in the postseason. Remember, he pitched well against the Yankees in that 2003 World Series. I think that's a good signing. He did not have a good didn't pitch well at all for the Dodgers, but again, when you get with an organization like the Red Sox, things tend to turn around. So that's something else that took place. You know, that's a small thing that took place during this week in Major League Baseball. Does it equal out to what the Yankees did? No. As far as Teixeira and CeCe Sabathia, but again, it's small moves like this that the Red Sox do that don't get talked about too much now, but end up paying off big dividends come postseason and also come regular season, also especially for the postseason. These are two veteran pitchers who have won championships. Smoltz has won a championship. Brad Penny has won a championship with the Marlins not too long ago. So good moves by the Red Sox getting those two pitchers. Coming up next week on the Saturday morning wake-up call, I will look ahead to the conference championships in the NFL. I also will bring back the NBA beat, and we'll start to dive into college basketball as college basketball starts to, as the NFL fades away, college basketball will start to come to the forefront. So again, I hope you enjoyed the program. I hope you enjoyed the program, and stay tuned to next week's Saturday morning wake-up call. Have a great week.
Let me know. Do I still got time to grow? Things ain't always set in stone. Let me know, let me know. Let me change life, shoot life, go in. Want it to be just my moment. Let me in front of me, so I'm in. Check in, I'll make my destiny. I know my destination. I'm just saying it. I bet you guys want it. Want it to be just my moment. Let me in front of me, so I'm in. Check in. I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm going to go to the hospital.